be calm, to have the calmness, the clarity, so that you are peaceful. Then it will bring about a very, what they call, wholesome state. Then your inner peace, inner well-being will follow, because that calmness will make you feel good. Then the positive energy is very powerful. So that's why people try to develop peace. So that is the first, they call, benefits of meditation. So if you understand, meditation is not only about peace, then you use it to meditate. That calm and peaceful mind is very conducive for understanding, to develop the understanding of the teaching. And when you understand the teaching, you will understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. And then, by induction, you will understand life clearly. Then you won't get yourself into trouble. You don't get yourself entangled anymore. So the teaching is very simple. But human beings make it complicated. Actually, the Buddha's teaching is very profound, very beautiful, and very simple. But human beings make it complicated. So, in a way, it's very unfortunate. It's such a great teaching, such a wonderful teacher, you cannot find. This type of being is very rare in this universe, not only this world. We haven't started yet. We got another 1 or 2 minutes. The key to meditation is to relax. Relax both physically and mentally. If you can relax, you can meditate better. If you cannot relax, very difficult. To be able to relax is actually a very important aspect of meditation. If you cannot relax, means you got problem. Either you got a lot of things that stress you out or make you restless, unhappy, lack of peace. So inability to relax does reflect that you have problem. That's why I always say the best check is whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, you have problems. The evil roots are there. So meditation is very simple. Whether you really progress and understand or not, you check whether you are more and more peaceful and more happy or not. If meditation make you less and less peaceful and less happy, something is wrong with that meditation. If you do it correctly, you will be very peaceful, very happy, and your life will become very different. Okay, 8:30 we can start. So as usual, you just compose your mind, develop the faith, the strong faith in the Buddha, through knowing who he is. He is the full enlightened one, and because of that, he not only enlightened but perfect in enlightenment. So when you have that understanding, you will have a lot of respect and gratitude for the Buddha. Then you compose your mind. With that calm mind, you pay respect mindfully. So by doing that, you develop a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of meritorious action. Because that reverential salutation to a fully enlightened one is full of wholesomeness and great merits. If you know how to do it with understanding and joy, really, it is one of the highest merits. Okay. Come. So now we start. So you compose your mind, then we pay respect. After that, we start our puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Ditiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Ditiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācarā viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Mosavada viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Surāmeraya majjhapamādatthāna viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Okay, tonight, we will do some meditation. Anybody who is first time here? Oh, your mom? Oh, your sister? Oh, so much older than you. Yeah, welcome. She knows some meditation? Oh, totally new. First time. But before that, she don't meditate before. Oh, okay, good. She knows the Dhamma, the Buddha's teaching. Suji, Tai Thai, very good. Sadhu, means she got good heart. Very good. She knows English. Not that good. Oh, Ying Yi, Tong Ah. Okay, or Jing Liang Yung Yi Dian Hua Yi. Pay her. Mayo Cho Jing Cho Chong Lai Domeo Choga. Naga loving kindness, Su Bei Chan Domeo Cho. Okay. OK, 这边是 学坐禅，修行。How many denominations? Oh, sorry. Wow. Then I have a little problem. Yeah, it's okay. I need to breathe a little bit. 我的华语也不好，我是音效了。But I try to explain to her because she need to grasp some understanding of meditation. 静坐，静坐哦，学佛，what they call it? Develop meditation. No, 修行 is cultivation. Cultivation, 禅啊， how to...修禅啊，对对，修禅啊，禅定啊，哲学啊，禅定啊，所以啊，讲福建话的英文，哲学是阿英的物件，来帮轻松啊 ，means relax 啊，华语叫放松，放松，relax 啊，放松。So, you think that you are a young man, you are a young man. What they call, let it be natural. And how it's learned. Little Mikey is young, I can be young, I can be a little Jason, but young, little bungling, relax.Relax 啊，是你心一静落来嚟使，唔想物件嚟使咯。But 众生亦有五款嘅障碍啊，一样叫Mandarin call 啊，five hindrance mental hindrance 啊，心魔，心嘅魔啊，一走路别安定落来。一走路杂事哦乱啊，所以你爱修禅的是你修不掉，因为伊这个思想在那么的糟，在那么的小，真正是妄想，念头，means heedlessly arising thought, think a lot, you think a lot because the hindrance are very powerful, every day, like I explained throughout the day.When you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile feel anything, you tend to have views and opinion. Then you react to what you see, what you hear, and what you think. And this has been going on for so long. So every moment of sense experience, the mind is never peaceful. It oscillates between light and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. So if you do it until it becomes a habitual, then you are always not peaceful because you lack wisdom. And because you lack wisdom, you don't have equanimity. Your mind cannot be in the state of equanimity. A mind that doesn't have equanimity cannot be peaceful because it likes to react, whether positive or negative. The duality becomes very powerful.And all this comes from your own self-delusion, satyadhiti. Self-delusion means you deludedly believe there is a person who lives life, who thinks, who feels, who has all this experience. So that's why the ego makes you react, understand? Make you cling, make you grasp. And because of that, it's very difficult for you to become peaceful. So the Buddha said, to overcomethis hindrance, you need to cultivate the opposite five, the spiritual faculty. Spiritual faculty are something that is very useful, and you have to develop it slowly. But if you are determined, it's not difficult. The first spiritual faculty is very simple. They call it faith. Faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching.If you were to reflect and contemplate into the great qualities and enlightenment of Lord Buddha and his teaching, then your faith will be automatic. You will have a lot of what they call sadha, confidence. Then that confidence comes from the great respect and gratitude for him, for such a great being. So when you have that sadha, you are very calm, very peaceful, your mind, no doubt, very composed. That's why it will help you to overcome restlessness, doubt. Then when that mind is more and more composed, if you develop that very strong tenacity or zeal, spiritual zeal, to cultivate, to meditate, then these two spiritual faculties will bring about a condition for you to train your mind to have sati or mindfulness. Mindfulness is most important. So siu jie xian, this is I siu zhen nian, zhen nian de dong yao. So mindfulness is just an awareness before the knowing, before the arising of thought. So when you pay respect to the Buddha, when your body and mind move as one without thought, that is mindfulness. The moment you are silent, without thought, you are already aware. Don't try to be mindful. Don't try to be aware. Don't go and do all those funny things. You just maintain silent. Then you are aware. You are attentive. Actually, attentiveness before the thinking, before the knowing, before the arising of thought is mindfulness. Just attentive, silent. It's just like when you want to hear something, you just silent yourself. Attentive. Then the senses very clear. Because during that time, your mind is not thinking. And because it's not thinking, there's nothing to cloud the mind. That's why there's clarity. Your senses become very clear, very sharp. But the moment you start to think, what happened? Your mind is preoccupied with that thought process. And because of your conditioning, your views and your opinion, that thought process will condition you to react. That's why you have emotion, feeling, all this mind state starting to arise. So when you are preoccupied with all this thinking, reaction and mind state, sensual desire, ill will and restlessness will arise. Then together with your doubt, your hindrance become very strong. That's why you cannot meditate. So to meditate is just to learn how to relax and just let things be. No need to think. Then silence your mind. That is the easiest way. No need method, no need technique. You just relax and silent. Then you will become peaceful. But human beings find it very difficult because of the hindrance. Throughout the day, habitually you have become conditioned into heedlessness. So you need something to anchor your mind. That's why in meditation, they try to give you object of meditation. Or they try to train you through certain skillful means to decondition the heedless thinking so that you are more peaceful, so that you can anchor your mind to something, the object of meditation, so that it does not run, it does not become heedless, it does not wander off. So the object of meditation, the purpose is to anchor your mind. Once it's anchored, then you stabilize it, you train it to stay there. Every time you want to dissolve, you bring it back. So that training is easy. But people got no patience because they don't understand what they do. So they say boring. So when you understand what you do, that's why I say you must meditate with understanding. Then you will do it correctly. You will do it with understanding. Then you will want to do. Because you see the importance of training your mind. The Buddha mentioned one very important truth. He said, if you don't train this mind to be heedful, then you will have the hindrance of mind to condition you into heedlessness. And the Buddha make it very clear. He said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. Means spiritually dead. You got no more spiritual life. So you have to train, and it's so important. And to train your mind to be peaceful and mindful is very easy if you understand. So what I will teach you all is a combination of the mind sweeping method, combined with loving kindness, to decondition your heedless thinking. So this technique or skillful mean is just to train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. We start with the forehead, then you don't think, you just feel, then you relax. Whatever tension, whatever tightness and stress within, you just relax. So you feel and relax, then you move your mind, train it to be at the location you want it to be. I will give you the whole instruction afterwards. Then after that, we will use our breathing. The Buddha call it mindfulness of the in and out breath, or anapanasati, to develop the stability of mindfulness so that your mind can actually be anchored to this breathing. Your breath is always in the moment. So when you are just aware without thought, you have present moment awareness, and you become very peaceful, very calm, very relaxed. That's how your meditation develops. That's how you develop the stability of mind to be aware, silent, noble silent, without any thinking or chattering within. So now I will off the light, then I will give you instruction to meditate. Okay, you just relax your body and mind, completely relax. Physically and mentally, just relax. Then you just silence your mind. You tell yourself, we are here to train our mind to be peaceful. So for the next half an hour or so, you will just let the mind be. Do not try to do anything, just let it be. All the thinking will slow down and stop by itself. But if you try to fight the thought, fight the sleepiness, then it will come and disturb you. You just let it be. If sleepy, just silent and relax and aware. Let the sleepiness continue, but develop awareness. Then all of a sudden, the shift of consciousness can arise. So whatever happens, just silent and relax and maintain awareness. Then for those who are new, who need to train their mind, because without this training, you will think a lot or you will become sleepy because your spiritual faculties are not developed. You don't have that faith, that understanding of who the Buddha is and how special his teaching is. Then you have not developed the virya, the spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate. Then your mindfulness is not established. That's why you need to train. So what I will do is, I will teach you how to do the mind sweeping method. Then after that, you combine with loving kindness or metta to make yourself peaceful. Okay, you just make sure you have a stable posture and your backbone is straight. Then you close your eye, relax body and mind, silent everything. Then you maintain attention or awareness at the forehead. Forehead means tau ka ting, tau ting sang. Then you feel, just kam ka mai siyo, kam ka. Uhami tension kasi tightness kasi stress within. They just pangling. So if you detect any tightness, any stress within, you just relax them all. Feel the forehead soothingly relax. Then after that, you move your attention to your eye muscle. Chiao le chen nian ki le ba chiu hai bei na, ya pang ling. Kam ka leo relax, mai siao ming ka. You just feel your eye muscle. Feel it soothingly relax, every part of it. all of them, ciliary muscle. Normally after a tired day, you are quite tired. Your eye is quite tired. So you feel, then you just relax them all. Feel them suddenly relax. Then after that, you move your awareness to your facial muscle. Look come ka le bin. Leo pang ling. Just come ka myself. Then if there is any tightness, any tension or any stress within, you just relax them all. Feel it soothingly relax. To help you relax, you can develop a visualization. You visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you have joy, you have happiness. You are naturally relaxed. That's why I radiate a radiant smile. Then after that, feel your facial muscle completely relaxed. Then you radiate loving kindness and metta to yourself. You can recite as follows: may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Well and happy. You must feel your entire body and mind, your entire being, having this well-being and happiness. Then you absorb all of the loving kindness and great compassion of Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva into your heart. Then you read it. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love and may there be joy. May there be peace deep in your hearts. Then may this body and mind of yours too be free from all suffering, all physical and mental suffering. May it too be free from all harm. Then you can radiate this same metta to somebody you love, your loved one. May my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. You can radiate from your heart. Visualize them radiating a radiant smile. Then from your heart, you radiate the metta. Then may your loved ones too be free from all danger and harm, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. All these instructions are in the notes that I given you earlier on, so you don't have to remember. You go back, read it out, then try to familiarize yourself with it. Then every time you meditate, you know how to do. Then after that, you continue to radiate to your loved one. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves peaceful and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you continue to radiate this love and metta to all your friends, Dhamma friends. May all my Dhamma friends, all my friends, and all those that have affinity with you, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Kayanamitas, may they all do be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all to be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, free from fear, worry and anxiety. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they also have love, peace and joy deep within their hearts. Then after that, you can continue to repeat this metta to all beings throughout the entire existence. Yeah? May all beings within the whole of Subangjaya, Selangor State, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, the whole planet Earth, Mother Earth, then our solar system, galaxy, and the entire universe. May all beings within this entire existence, may they all do be well and happy, well and happy. May they all do be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May they all do be free from enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may they do keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy throughout their hearts. Okay, by now you should be more calm and more peaceful. You can slowly come back to your facial muscle and feel it soothingly relaxed. Then you feel your neck, shoulder relax, body relax, hand relax back to shoulder. Then you move your attention to your heart, chest area. Just feel, silent and feel. You can detect any heartbeat or any vibration. You just silent and stay there. Yeah. If you are new, if you can't, if you are not established in sati and mindfulness yet, it's okay. You just relax and just feel, yeah, at your heart area. Like you feel your forehead. Any tension, any tightness, you just relax them, relax, relax and relax every part of it. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then after that, you move your attention down to your stomach. Just feel, then relax every part. Then you move to your abdomen, feel, relax every part. Then your leg, buttock, feel, and relax every part. Now you can reverse the whole sweeping method, the whole cycle backward from the leg, relax, feel, relax, buttock, feel, relax. Don't think, just feel and relax. Then feel your abdomen, silence everything and just relax. Then your stomach, do the same. Then move to your heart, stay there for a while. If you have trained your mind and you are very stable, you can just stay there, relax and silence everything. Initially, you may need to anchor it to the heartbeat, or to any part where you can detect the vibration. Then you just silence everything. And your meditation will develop, your awareness will become more and more stable, more and more refined. Then after that, you continue to relax. Then you silence everything. Then you feel your shoulder, neck, and back to shoulder. Then facial muscle relax every part. Your eye muscle relax every part. Your forehead relax every part. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Your mindfulness should also have more or less established. So now you need to stabilize it. The stabilization of this mindfulness is very useful and very important. You can either anchor it to the heart or any part within your body. So the Buddha has actually prescribed our breathing. He said, Anapanasati is very good because our breath is a very neutral object, suitable for most people, for most characters. Later on, you will find out what is suitable for you. But naturally, this breathing will come by handy. So the Buddha used Anapanasati to train his mind. And likewise, he recommended this to most of the monks. Then depending on the individual, sometimes he may give additional object of meditation, to help them train their mind. So anapanasati is very easy. Like the word anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is mindfulness of in and out breath. So you only need to silence, then detect the breathing. Then you are doing anapanasati. So you feel your nostril, like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain awareness or attention in front of your nostril. Then allow your breathing to go on naturally. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. That's why mind and the breath move as one. That is anapanasati. So when you do that, your mind is silent in awareness together with the breathing. Then breathing out, do the same, you are aware. So continue to train this way. Initially, when you are not used to it, you tend to have a lot of wandering thoughts. Split second, this awareness is gone. But never mind, patiently bring it back. Bring it back to the breathing. Like learning how to ride a bicycle. After a few falls, you will get the balance. So anapanasati is the same. Every time the mind wander off, patiently bring it back to be aware. Until the breathing become very natural, until the breath and the mind move as one. By then you will know, you will understand. The cultivator who has developed it will feel the peace, the calmness coming by. When your mind is just aware, mindful of the in and out breath, it will concentrate and develop into what they call piti. Piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. So piti will arise because wherever there is sati, when it stabilizes, piti will arise. So when piti arises, there is a type of calmness, a type of joy, very blissful. They call it the spiritual joy, spiritual peace. Then as you continue to relax and silence your mind more and more, more and more, then this piti will transform into what they call sukha. Sukha is a very fine state of mind. The piti become bliss. There is a lot of bliss within that moment of awareness. That bliss is very, very blissful. You feel so good. Never before in your life. And you really want it to be repeated, because this is the what they call jhanic factor that can make you attach. Attachment to sukha is quite common. A lot of people don't understand. It is not an enlightenment factor, but it's so blissful. That's why they like to stay there. They don't want to come out. They believe that is what they want to realize and achieve. But you do that and you attach, then every time you cannot get it, you will become unhappy. It will cause a lot of suffering in you. Even if you can repeatedly get it, but after a while, like good food, it becomes no more interesting. So sukha is not to be attached, it's to be understood. You just understand what it is. It's a conditioned state of mind. It will arise when you train your mind. So when it becomes very, very blissful, you need to relax more and more and allow it to settle down. Then this very fine type of bliss, it will start to become quiet, become very tranquil and very still, until your mind, like very little breathing, little or no breathing, little or no thought, then you will enter pasati. Pasati is a tranquility, stillness of mind. You allow this pasati to stabilize, because this is the meditative state that you need to train. So when your mind can be stable in pasati, means you have developed the tranquil mind, the silent mind. This is the mind that is aware and heedful without thought. This is the mind that the Buddha talked about that can make you heedful and can allow you to meditate and insight into all the characteristics of nature. So you will just silent your mind and allow this paucity or stillness or silent mind to stabilize. Then after that, use it to develop the wisdom, cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Use it to live life, to develop the daily mindfulness. Okay, I'll allow you to do your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. So I will let you all develop your own meditation. So develop the training of your mind to be aware, to be silent, to be peaceful, to be stable. Then use it to understand what is going on. That is vipassana, means insight meditation, understanding the mind, understanding how it conditions you into negativity, and understanding how the conditioned state of meditation come to be, how they arise and how they pass away, and how in the future they will be conditioned into different mind state too. Okay, I'll leave it to you to meditate. Okay. Just relax yourself. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, you can just relax and silently come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. This training of the mind is very important. This is what you really need to do as a first step to develop the meditation. Because the Buddha make it very clear, if you do not train your mind to have sati or mindfulness, then use it to meditate, become heedfulness. You cannot develop the meditation. So the whole of meditation is about training your mind to be mindful, to be heedful, so that you don't think. Then use it to meditate, to understand who are you, what are you, what is this form of mind all about. Then you start to understand how you function as a human being, how you know the world, how you interact with the world, how you make use of this form of mind that you are endowed with karmically, to live life, to develop the understanding of life. Then from there, you will develop the wisdom that you need to cope with life, to confront life, to really understand clearly all of the laws that govern life and existence, especially the spiritual laws, so that you will know how you can actually develop wisdom to truly live life. So meditation got two parts. Always remember, first part is to train this mind so that it has the ability to be mindful. Then stabilize it and use it to meditate. Then it becomes heedfulness or apamada. So when you are heedful, you are constantly aware, ever mindful. Then you use it to meditate, means constantly meditative and ever mindful. And you hold on to this training, you are destined to realize Nibbana, enlightenment in the here and the now. So meditation will be very simple, very straightforward when you understand this. So not so difficult. Only need to train your mind to be aware, silent, mindful. Then use it to meditate. The mind that is trained is very useful. The trained mind is very peaceful, very quiet. It listens to you. It has a lot of clarity. So the benefits of meditation, which I have listed, the six of them up there, the banner. First, you will benefit from ability to train this mind to become peaceful. So that leads you to inner peace. So when you have inner peace, your mind is very quiet, very silent, very still, and the energy is very positive. And because of that, there is no fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, and lamentation. It is just peace. So because of that, it will bring about inner well-being. Your cells will recuperate because they like the energy field. As opposed to the negative mind state, negative emotion like fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, and lamentation, envy and jealousy, all this will make you very, very restless, very agitated, very unhappy, and the energy is very chilling, very negative. It can release a type of hormone in you, especially fear, anxiety, sadness, and sorrow. It can cause you a lot of what they call suffering and misery. So when you are caught in all those things, it will condition the body to release a very negative type of hormones that will intensify the fear, the worry, the anxiety, and the sadness. And this leads to the whole mess of suffering the Buddha talked about, dukkha. So dukkha or suffering can be very real. So all these negative hormonal energy field, they can cause your cell to mutate. Then it will lower your immune system. Then you will have disease. You will have sickness. You will have a very, very weak physical body and mental state. So because of that, there is no clarity. Then the hindrance of mind will become very overwhelming within you. Because you lack wisdom, you do not have mindfulness. So heedlessness takes over. So your hindrance become more and more powerful. That's how you cannot become peaceful. So in order to reverse all this, the Buddha said you must develop the equivalent opposite fire of spiritual faculty. Means your faith in the Buddha and his teaching, your spiritual zeal or virya, then your mindfulness. That's why mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Then after that, there is stability of mind, we call samadhi, the fourth spiritual faculty. Then when you have stabilized your sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. There is this clarity of mind to allow you to develop the wisdom of panya, which is the last spiritual faculty. So the third benefit of meditation is inner peace, leading to inner well-being, leading to inner clarity of mind. So when there is clarity of mind, you can see things as they are. You are not deluded. You are not conditioned by it. So that will allow you to develop wisdom, which is the fourth benefit. And this wisdom is what you need to understand life, to live life, to develop the noble qualities in life. So wisdom is very important. So when there is wisdom, you are always at peace. You are always happy. And all the spin-off from meditation, the friction of it will come to you. And because you know how to train your mind, you know how to do inner peace, inner well-being, clarity of mind and wisdom, you will have very good sleep. You will sleep very well. Then you will study better too. You will work with more efficiency too. So it not only help you in your study, in your career, and in your daily life. So the benefits of meditation are a lot. So once you have trained your mind, all these benefits will come to you. Then you will know how to make use of it to become a totally transformed living being. The mind that is trained is very useful. The Buddha said, the untrained mind is heedless. It's like a devil's workshop. You know, devils are very evil beings. If you don't train your mind, you are heedless. It's like a devil's workshop. Like the evil being take charge and take control of your mind. So that's why you develop a lot of suffering. The hindrances are very strong. The evil roots are very strong because the devil inside create all this delusion in you to grasp and cling and react, arising the evil roots. They are the roots of all evil. So if you train your mind, the trained mind is very peaceful, very calm, has a lot of clarity, has a lot of very positive energy, then it is peaceful. That's why the inner peace is very useful. Then this mind that is trained, you will understand it very clearly. Because when the mind is trained, you can use it, it listens to you. You want it to be silent, it will be silent. You want it to be peaceful, it will be peaceful. You want it to aware, to understand anything, it will just do that. You want it to develop wisdom, to meditate, it will just follow what you instruct. As such, your mind is beautiful, trained. It's just like when you develop any skill in life, whether it's a sport or whether it's cooking or career that you like. Take for example, badminton or whatever. So what do we mean by training ourselves to be skillful in that sports or in that art or in that trade. To be skillful means you are very skillful in whatever you do with regards to that sports. So badminton is a very good analogy because I played a lot of badminton during my young days. Then I become very skillful in it, the stroke of course. Then because of that, I saw the similarity between meditation and training your meditation skill and training your badminton skill. The mind that is not trained is just like a person who has not trained themselves in badminton. Means what? You don't even know how to hold your racket. Correct or not? Then you ask people which is the correct method or style to hold. Then depend on the type of racket to understand. Certain racket are very well designed, so you pay for it. Certain racket not so well designed, very clumsy. Then the string that they actually do it out for you also is very important. Whether that tension is made of good string or normal lousy string. Then the tightness, the tension that they pull, not too tight, not too loose. That's why it's middle way. Then you must train yourself in the stroke. Initially, you must train at least to serve the shuttlecock. Means learn how to hit the shuttlecock first. Then after a while, if you are perseverant, you have the diligence, then you realize you can hit it and more accurate. Then after that, you can decide where you want to place it, whether you want to serve low or serve high or net or baseline, and then you have control, understand? Then later on, when you start to develop the game better, then you realize when people hit back, you can retrieve the shuttlecock to the location you want it to be. Then when you play your game with people like defilement, they start to see you have certain weakness, your bad hand, because people find it very difficult to train. So if they attack your bad hand, you will lose your game to them. Then sometimes if they see that you have not trained yourself, you don't know how to lob from the baseline to baseline, then they attack you at the baseline, you will lose the game. So you have to train until you are skillful in every aspect of the game. And then only you can talk about playing badminton with somebody, understand? Badminton and meditation is quite similar in that sense. If you have not trained your mind, how are you going to come out into life and like live life? Living life is like interacting with people, understand? Like playing a game or badminton with people. If you are totally heedless, you are not even trained, you can't even serve the shuttlecock to the location you want it to be. You have not trained your backstroke, your backhand, and your lobbing and drop shot and all those things. You have not trained how to defend and retrieve the shuttlecock. How are you going to play a proper game? How are you going to beat people in that game? So, badminton, if you look at it in that aspect, then you compare with meditation, then you realize how far behind are you. Because you have not trained your mind. It's just like you have not even trained your stroke. Not to talk about serving the shuttlecock, playing a game. Understand? So in that aspect, you will have more clarity. Because I find it so difficult to explain to you all why you must train your mind. Until recently when I reflect and contemplate, then I realized this is an easier way to make you understand. It came about accidentally actually. Somebody came and asked me some question. And it was so difficult for that person to understand why you must train your mind to be heedful. So suddenly, when I reflected and contemplated, then I used the analogy to explain to him. And then I think he got it. Then he realized, yeah, if we have not even trained our mind, how are we going to live life? How are we going to meditate? How are we going to develop the understanding of life? It's just like badminton. You have not moved the first step. First step is what? Learn how to hold that racket. Swing. Understand now? Every day practice. Understand now? Until you are mindful. When you train your stroke until you are very mindful, you know what happens. You don't think one. Whatever shuttlecock come, you will know how to retrieve. You will know how to serve it. And it's split second and very fast the thing go. And that is mindfulness. When you are mindful, the body and mind one together. Means your swing, your stroke. That's why they flick. It's because that movement and the mind is one. Understand? You just go. And it's very potent, very powerful. But before you train, you are very clumsy. You cannot hit it that way. And when people swing the racket, there is a type of sound, very, very powerful and very strong. And you don't need much strength on, because it's the flick. It's the stroke that you execute with perfect mindfulness. And you don't think. You spontaneously know how to retrieve, because you have trained, skillful. Meditation is like that. The mind that is trained, no need to think on. It just know what to do on. Yeah. Because it's so skillful. It has seen all the possibility of defilement. That's why it can handle every department. Yeah. Then whatever the rule of the game, that mind that is trained, understand. Yeah. And the guideline is noble faux pas. Very simple. So with right view, you will know how to live. You will know how to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, right effort, right livelihood, right mindfulness and samadhi. So all this, when you reflect clearly, you will see how far lacking you are in your training of your mind. So that aspect, I hope you can get it right. Then you decide, because your life, I cannot be explaining any further than that. You got it, Anna? Huh? Is it clear to you or not? If I don't give you this analogy, you don't know what you are doing here. You may think that I try so hard, why Brother Teo say I haven't done it? But you ask yourself like badminton, are you skillful with your way you train your mind? Can your mind do all those strokes like I described just now? Yeah. And badminton, you can train it very easy. You only need to like the game. Then every day you train and you will become very skillful. You got racket, I show it to you. Really? So you haven't got racket, right? Nobody got racket. You got racket, you bring, I show it to you. 20 over years, I never touched the racket, right? I never played with internet, but the stroke is still with me. It's still with me. When you train until you are very skillful, it is always with you. It will never leave you. Understand? That is mean by stability of training. Like the spiritual faculty. If you develop until it become a power, they call balas. Understand? Unshakable. Then you no need to train anymore, no need to develop anymore, because it has become perfected. Power. Good, come. Very good. This is very good. You see, so long I haven't played. And I can show you. You see, I can serve just like that. Then what? Oh, this one. You see, when you hit, it's very powerful, understand? It's just a swing, simultaneously, understand? And I have not played for the last 20 years. But the stroke is always there. The only thing is this body no more stamina, cannot run. But the stroke is still there, understand? So the skill is still there. Because meditation is not about stamina, understand? Meditation is about wisdom. You don't have to run all over the court, understand? Badminton, you need to have a skillful mind and stroke and stamina. Three things must be there. Whereas meditation, you got wisdom, enough. No need stamina. Your body can be very sick, very weak, but that wisdom will make sure you don't suffer anymore. Asana. So whatever you do, like bad hand, this light is here. So long I haven't swing, I still remember. See, it is very strong. So all this, when you train, it is always with you. You need to train your mind until it becomes skillful. That's the way it has to be. And you cannot do it this way. You are still far away from most people. Understand? Huh? Yeah, I just put it here. So whatever you want to be skillful at or good at, like swimming or whatever, you need to train until you are very skillful. Whatever you want to be good at, even playing chess, the same. Chess, you must have clarity of mind. You must see the move. It's not about stamina. It's about concentration, clarity of mind. And have you seen people play chess or not? No need chess board, right? Hey, really? I got two classmates in the university. That two guy, I tell you, he just play chess without chess board. Right? And they know what? Checkmate. Okay, checkmate, you win. And no need chessboard. Means what? They can see the whole chessboard in their mind. And they just tell you the movement. Ma, don't know what. Move to where, then move to where, move to where. No matter how many more, the whole chessboard is like very clear to them. For you, without chessboard, you don't know where yours. Sometimes you play, there were once, English chess, got one guy, he every time lose to that fellow, you know what he did? He steal away his queen. Then the fellow look, where is my queen? He thought people don't know. But if you are skillful, anything that is missing, you will know. Your kitchen got water or not? That's it. Got a little bit of water, not because that racket, a lot of dust. I need to clean it a bit. Yeah, just give me a minute. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, sorry for the slight disruption. Okay, now I more or less finished explaining what I need to explain. Meditation is very simple. Don't make it complicated. So the way you need to train your mind is like how you train your game. Exactly the same. You have to be very skillful with your mind. Means this mind obey you. Understand? You decide how this mind is going to serve you. The untrained mind is the other way around, understand? It controls you, understand? And it deludes you. And it creates a lot of delusion in you so that you grasp, cling, and react to all your sense experience. All of the aggregate of mind arise. You cannot see its impermanent. You cannot see its suffering state. You continue to grasp and hold because you believe they are real, they are interesting. Then you continue to hold on to all this because you cannot see their empty nature. You cannot see the non-self nature. You believe you are real. Your loved ones are real. Everything is so real to you. That's why the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature. It's very important that wisdom need to be penetrated. Otherwise, you cannot cope with life. You cannot handle life. It's only when your mindfulness is very stable that you see them in your daily life. You see how you are conditioned into delusion, and how through that delusion you react and stir your mind. Through your wrong view, through your lack of understanding and wisdom. So all this, not until you see and wake up to that reality, you will never know what is going on. That's why without this teaching, the Buddha Dharma, the Four Noble Truths, you can never free. You don't even know why you suffer. You don't even know who are you and what are you. How can you free? That's why you don't even know who are you, what are you. Then the question is, who is living your life? Who? You will be very surprised. You never leave. You only existed through life. Moment to moment, you never leave. That is the reality. And so what happened if that is the case? Then who is living your life? Your thought, your wrong view, your emotion, they are living your life. That's why you have so much suffering, misery. You go into depression. You have so much fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. Then you react. Your envy and jealousy come from what? Delusion. Because you continue to be gullible, grasp and cling on to so many things. As if they are very real. Not knowing that the moment your breath stops, your whole identity erased. You don't exist anymore. You don't own anything anymore. Actually, you never really own. It's only condition arising. When there is condition for you to like own. So the society's law recognize, the nature's law recognize, then like you can have some form of ownership. But you yourself is condition arising, not a reality, not a permanent unchanging entity that can eternally exist, that you can call yourself, this is me, this is I. So what happens when you yourself is impermanent, condition arising? You are as unreal as all phenomena. Then how can you own thing and have thing? That is delusion, because you cannot see that reality. This form of mind is not you, karmically conditioned for you to use, to live life, to experience all of life, and to make use of it to learn whatever that you want to learn, perfect whatever that you need to perfect. But not come here to allow it to condition you into suffering and misery. Means you don't know how to use this tool. Understand? It's like you have a tool, T-O-O-L, like the knife. You don't know how to use that knife to serve you. You allow that knife to cut you and harm others and cut others. That is stupidity. Right? Human beings are precisely doing that, using their thought and their form to do just that. To harm themselves, hurt themselves, harm others and hurt others. And that is real delusion, stupidity. Not until you see that very clearly, then you ask yourself, how come I am so deluded? What happened to me? Why am I continuing all this? Can't I just wake up and tell myself, my life, I decide. I have a choice. I choose to be happy. Then you will diligently cultivate and train your mind. You will no longer be heedless anymore. So basically, it's very simple. Have that understanding. The moment you understand, you know what to do. So the three way to cultivate is like last Tuesday, I written on the banner there. There is what the Buddha taught, the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. He said, three types of wisdom will arise when you develop that training that way. First one is, you listen to the Dhamma or the truth that he has proclaimed. And nowadays you are lucky, you can read them. You can listen to the CD, the recording and all those things. Then after you have heard them and read about them, the Buddha said, you must go to the second turning. You must reflect and contemplate on what you have read and heard or study. Then you ask yourself through inquiry, Why did the Buddha say that? How can I develop the understanding of what he has spoken or proclaimed? And then from there, it will allow you to stabilize what you have heard and what you have read and assimilate it into your mind to stabilize the understanding. And that type of wisdom is called Chintamaya Panya, second turning wisdom. So you combine the first two, hearing, reflection and contemplation and inquiry, that constitute learning of the doctrine. So under the Pali word, the Buddha always talk about the three level of training. First level is Pariyatti. Pariyatti is how you learn the doctrine, how you understand his teaching. So you use the first two turning to understand his teaching through hearing, reading, then reflection, contemplation, or nowadays discussion, Dhamma discussion or session. Then after that, what you do, the Buddha said, after you have learned the doctrine, you must put it to practice, anasana. You must cultivate this doctrine. So he called it Patipada. This is the meditation, the cultivation part. This is the third turning, Bhavana Mayapanya, wisdom born of meditation. Then after that, he said, once you have developed the meditation, like you have trained your mind to be so skillful, you will start to understand very clearly his teaching. Then your wisdom will keep on arising. Then one day you will insight into the characteristics of nature, the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self. Then from there, you awaken, you become enlightened. The moment you become enlightened, you enjoy the third category of training. They call it the Pativeda. Pativeda is the fruition of cultivation. When you have awakened, enlightened, when you have developed the ability to understand life so clearly, then there is this reward that will come with it. They call this the fruition, means like your karma, your good blessing. They will come back to you because you will inherit them. So the fruit or fruition of cultivation is Pativeda. So the fruition is what? You will live the noble life, understand? Noble life of great peace, happiness and joy, great meaning, no more suffering, no more fear, no more misery, no more unhappiness, no more of this foolishness to have all the unhappy state of mind. You can no longer be jealous, you can no longer have envy, you can no longer have like and dislike of what people do or what the world is. Everything to you is so beautiful. The world is just the way it is. People are just the way they are. And you can take them all in. You can accept them for what they are. That's why the fruition of it is so beautiful, so meaningful. Then your life completely transforms. Life takes a turn. All of a sudden, you realize the beauty of life. You can experience all the wonder and pristine beauty of life. All of nature becomes so meaningful, so beautiful. Every moment of consciousness is so beautiful, so wonderful. And your mind is so different that time. Everything that you come to perceive, there is so much clarity. There is no more fear, worry, anxiety, and the mind state, the movement inside, no more. And nothing in this world can stir you or disturb you anymore. You are always at peace. So that is the reward that you will have. And if you really, really have that understanding, I will rejoice with you, I will sadhu you. And you will become a great blessing to the world. All of humanity, society, and the environment. You will benefit them a lot. Even the consciousness of this planet and this universe will be enhanced, greatly enhanced. Okay, now we got half an hour. Any question? Anybody has read through the speech that I gave on your own and come up with any question? Well, last Thursday, I remember, I told you all go back and read. Well, I don't have time for Q&A. So today, I reserved 32 minutes for you all. Anybody got prepared any question? Or you want to ask me any question? You better make full use of the time. Nobody ran. Anybody ran? Then, any question? You can understand? Okay, good. At least there is some feedback. You find it beautiful. But most important is make use of it to cultivate, to move on. Because that one explained to you very clearly about the teaching and how beautiful the Buddha's teaching is all about. And it can be understood so easily, and it connects to you, all of life and his teaching, and it's so clear, understand? If you still don't know how to go about doing it, then I don't know how. Definitely, it's not so easy. Many people who wrote to me, they told me the same thing. He said, do you know, Brother Teo, that speech appears so clear and so easy, you know, but I have to read over and over and over for so many times, read over and over for so many times to see the deep meaning inside. Every time they read through, it becomes clearer. Every time they read through, they contemplate, they reflect, it becomes clearer, because it is meant for all level. And if you have not reached that level of contemplative wisdom, inquiry, you can never understand the deep meaning. You will appreciate the surface, but as you cultivate and develop more understanding and clarity, then the same word has a very deep meaning, and the deep, profound meaning will stand out on its own as you cultivate. Especially when I talk about the present moment awareness, the dependent origination, then all of the Four Noble Truths, even the Four Noble Truths, don't think it's easy. A lot of people say, oh, kindergarten stuff. When you go to kindergarten, the Sunday school, they teach you Four Noble Truths, isn't it? But now they are more interested in sophisticated Dhamma. They want to do vipassana. They want to go retreat, do jhana, develop all the insight, meditation, 16 stages of jnana knowledge. If you think the Dhamma is there, then you are mistaken. The real Dhamma is in the Four Noble Truths. Everything spin off from there. If you don't understand the Four Noble Truths, your foundation is very weak. If you understand the Four Noble Truths, all the other teaching, you will see clearly. You will understand why people do it wrongly without understanding. Because the focus is different. The focus is on the method and the technique and the words. They don't know the real Dhamma is in the original teaching, the Four Noble Truths. And from there, everything spin off. So if you don't get the whole picture right, you go and take one fragment and go and cultivate. Finally, you have to come back to the Four Noble Truths. Even though there is a Noble Eightfold Path which talks about the meditation, but you have to come back to the first, second, and third Noble Truth too. It's just like the elephant analogy, understand? The Buddha gave the elephant, you know. If you only cultivate the trunk, then you talk about the trunk. You say elephant is like a trunk. Then if somebody touch the body, the blind man, elephant is a solid mess. Then he touch the tail, elephant is just that tail. Then he touch the leg, the elephant is just, because they are like blind men, touching every different part. So when you cultivate this part, that part, when you don't see the whole elephant, you cannot understand the elephant, that movement, the agility, the whole picture. So that's why all the blind men come back and report differently, and they argue. Then it's just like the king that tested the four princes. You remember? He asked them to go and visit all these places, different time of the year. Then come back, he asked all the four princes to describe what they see and what they experience. All of them describe differently. Then at first, all the wise people, they know. But some of the ministers didn't know. They thought some of the prince lied. So they were worried. But the king knew. He said, yes, you all did go there. That's why you can describe to me the same place, different season. You see different scenery. Well, that is the way the world is. Understand? So you cannot be rigid about things. Understand? Everything has its nature's law that governs life and existence. If you don't understand the nature's law, then you become rigid. Then let's say the king is also ignorant. He don't have the wisdom. He happened to go there during summer. And then he will kill the other three princes. Eh? You never go there, you lie. Then he will love that prince that went there summer. Understand? But because they travel a lot, as a king, they conquer people, they have war. So they have very good experience of the four seasons. And for them to be successful and good, they have to have this understanding. Otherwise, how can they become the king and the ruler? They need to have certain, what they call, better understanding to dominate society and the world. But some of this may not be spiritual. It's more for the materialistic. Okay, you got another 25 minutes. Ah, yes. Better ask. Ask. Still got, those who have not received, they are still copy. Yes, universal law.
So when I compare what you have written with what what Buddhists believe,
Chief Reverend.
Chief Reverend. Okay, it's a bit different.
Definitely, because so, the last part.
Yeah.
Dhamma Niyama.
Yeah. So I just wanted to clarify.
Yes.
Because it was
actually it's not different because the textbook and the traditional teaching always teach like that. So when it comes to Dhamma Niyama, you know what they say? Nature's occurrences. So natural occurrences. They always give the example like the birth of a great being, the Buddha. Then there are signs in the universe, in the galaxy. Certain star will appear. Then a lot of all those things. They say these are all nature's occurrences. Then they talk about all the other truth that is not in the first four, as Dhamma Niyama. So in that sense, it's correct. All of the other truth that is not in the first four. You know what are the first four? Uttu Niyama, Bijja Niyama. These are scientific law, physical and biological. So you come to physical and biological, you must understand now. How this human being is the most complex. It got biological, it got mental, it got spiritual, and it got physical. Then with the Dhamma, all the five niyamas is all in your form of mind. Understand? That's why you don't understand how complicated this form of mind is and how wise you can be if you have that understanding. Because the physical law pertain to physical things. Biological law pertain to biological things. Understand? Our human body is a biological entity, understand? Like the plants, the animals, the fishes, it's all biological, understand? It has this, what they call cells, it has what they call all the various building blocks that create the organic. They call it biological in nature or organic in nature, even like potato and all those things, fruits or whatever. So they have biological characteristics. Then you have the law of karma. Then you have the law of the mind, citta niyama, karma niyama. Then the last one is dhamma niyama. What is the word dhamma? You ask yourself. I don't have to look at book. Because the word tell me is dhamma. Understand? Dhamma is all the truth that the Buddha teach or share. Understand? So dhamma niyama is all his teaching, is essential teaching. Understand? That's why when you have karma niyama, citta niyama, citta niyama, what did he teach? He teach the dependent origination. Understand? The dwelling, how your mind function. Understand? That is the order of the mind, all the psychic, everything follow that law. Karma niyama is nature's law with regards to mental chetina or intention, means moral causation. Understand? Without the mental intention, then it is normal nature's law. Understand? Cause and effect. But when the moral, what they call aspect, is put into, that's why chetina, mental intention. So we call it the moral causation. Because of that mental intention, it trigger of karma. Understand? So you got these two. Then the last one is Dhamma. Dhamma is all the essential teaching of the Buddha. And what is the essence of his teaching? Yeah? What is the essence of his teaching? Four Noble Truth. That's why the Four Noble Truth is what the Buddha want you to understand under the third right view. Dhamma Niyama. We are from the Four Noble Truth. He summarized all of life. You remember? I wrote that. Mundane and supramundane into just this Four Noble Truth. That's why he is so powerful. He is so wise. Definitely different because people follow text. Understand now? Follow what is popularly accepted. That's why you look for authority. Understand? You want to believe the book. Understand? Or believe the monk. Understand? But when it is the truth, you investigate into it. Understand? And from the Pali word, you know. Understand? I'm not trying to create new understanding based on my interpretation. I use the Pali word. Understand? Dhamma niyama. What is Dhamma? The teaching of the Buddha. Correct or not? Need to argue or not, that one? Huh? You need to, like, doubt or not? You don't quote people. I want you to understand yourself. Understand? That is where you all get into trouble. You like to quote people. People say, the monk say, the book say, but what did you say? You never investigate. That's why you can never meditate and learn. Meditation is about self-investigation. The Buddha said, Ehi Paseko. The Dhamma can stand up to investigation. But it is the truth. That's why the Dhamma is Ehi Paseko. Then what are you doing? Believe. Understand? Believe who say? The one in authority that you think is the right person to believe in. That's why you always believe. Then what happened to you? You never investigate. You become gullible. Like meditation. People ask you to note that, meditate like that, you just do. You don't want to find out. You think this is meditation. That's why you never learn. I have been trying to actually change your understanding. And this part I find so difficult to get it in your heart. I already told you when I started, when I was very young, I do think very different one. This life when I come. Even when I come to career engineering work, I never believe anything one. I study with understanding one. I work with understanding. If you give me a project without the totality of the background and the explanation of the summary of the project, or what they called, you see, when you are given a project, they got a term of reference for you, understand, to do that project. If that file is not with me, I don't understand. What for? I don't know what I'm doing, understand. Then when you ask me to do design, I must know what that design is, what that structure is, what the soil foundation is. Otherwise, I cannot start. I cannot just say, oh, design 18-story building, 20-story, oh, I got textbook. I just take copy. But this building built where also you don't know. What type of foundation also you don't know. What type of terrain also you don't know. And you got the bridges built. That's why building collapse. Asana. Because everyone is different. The condition is different. Then the usage is different. You cannot just listen, borrow, copy here. Cut and paste. That's why don't be gullible. And this is a very good question. Because if you don't ask, you can never understand. I just explained to you what the Buddha said under that word, Dhamma Niyama. And Dhamma is his teaching. You take refuge in the triple gem. You don't even know what this gem is. Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, the Sana. He never used any other word, no. Dhamma Niyama, and this is in the text, no. And how come it can be interpreted until like that? Dhamma also becomes something else. The other question you will ask is the same. The four foundation of mindfulness. First foundation is what? Kaya Nupassana. That one, not much controversial. Second one is what? Vedana Nupassana. Third one is what? Citta. Last one? So much argument about Dhamma. Everybody tell you it's mental object, mind object. I say no. You look at the Satipatthana Sutta, all the category of cultivation under Dhamma Nupassana. Where got mental object? First category is five hindrances. Mindfulness of five hindrances. Second category is five aggregate of form and mind. Then the seven factor of enlightenment. Then the six internal sense bases and six external sense. And the last one is four noble truth. Someone want to argue. Someone want to believe what the book say. We are popularly accepted. Forget about it. Go and find out yourself. That's why when I meditate, I understand it through my own cultivation and investigation. Then when I understand, I dare to share with you. If I don't understand, I tell you I don't understand. If that topic is beyond me and not my specialty, I tell you. Why must I lie to you? But if I dare to explain to you, means I have the understanding and the realization. Otherwise, what for? Do you think I want to be famous? I want to convince you? What for? Your life got nothing to do with me. Understand? No. If you can benefit, use it. You don't have to believe anything I say, like the Buddha. You don't have to believe whatever that is written in the holy book or what the Buddha has said. You must investigate it, told the Kalamas. And this is how you progress. If you don't investigate, you cannot do the second turning. That's why you must ask, why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand? And then from there, you go into it. If it's not the truth, it will not stand up to investigation. Understand? If I not explain to you how I come to that understanding, you sure doubt until the when. That's the same answer because you compare. Means what? You try to believe something else. You don't want to find out yourself. Understand? Meditation is about understanding. Do with understanding. How many times must I repeat that? Never believe anything that people tell you to do and do with understanding. Understand? Otherwise, you can never progress. You will get stuck. That's why the Buddhist community, I tell you. There is a big difference. Because a lot of things that is wrongly translated, people just gullibly take. The other thing that you must look into is the five spiritual faculties, you see, Sada, Virya. And Virya is always translated as right effort. Even in Thailand, they all translate as right effort. When we were at the place, the mindfulness center, Ajahn Vimo translate as right effort. But the word, you look at the word, Virya. The Noble Eightfold Path, the right effort is Vayama. Understand? Sama Vayama. Vayama is right effort, the four right effort. But Virya is a type of energy, understand? Zeal, a tenacity, a spiritual drive to move you. That's why it's a mental faculty, understand? If you translate as effort, you are totally out, understand? Because the English translation was accepted so conveniently. But they never look at the Pali. The Pali was the authentic one that was passed on down through the chanting and the sana. That's why when I read the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, I saw the English translation not so correct. A lot of word run. Because I meditate, I know. And that time I don't even have a copy of the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. No? When they first asked me to share, I asked for a copy, they passed me a chanting book. Then I turn and look at the Pali. I can understand some Pali word. I'm not good in Pali. But some of the important word, all about Dhamma one, I know one. I know it inside out one. Then when I look through that one, then I know the English translation is wrong. Run. That's why even Mahayana also run. That's why I dare to tell you in the Heart Sutta, you ask in video. Even Surangama Sutta. Even Master Sen was commentary, everything. A lot of them run. But they explain based on their understanding, Anasana. But when you have developed another understanding, you will see very clearly on. Even at my level, I can understand. How can the Buddha interpret it the other way? Anasana. The Buddha is so much more wiser, Anasana. That's why I always tell myself, cannot be. Especially the four right effort. You know what is the first right effort? To prevent, to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen. Then the second one, they say, to prevent it from arising. Third one is what? They use the word maintain, no? Right effort to maintain, no? I say, definitely wrong. The Buddha will not be like that. Why you want to maintain? You should refine and develop it further. That's why there is perfection, the 10 perfection. How can you arise a right effort to maintain? It's like the Chinese saying, the Chinese inheritance business never go beyond 3 generations. Because first generation work very hard, diligent, from rank and file they come up. Understand? Second generation maintain as far as the second generation, the father say, if you don't lose money enough already, enough for you to survive for eternity, is it? But how can he maintain? Because he is not trained to survive. Understand? Any bad influence come, he will squander and waste everything. That's why I never go beyond 3 generations. So don't ever try to maintain anything. Understand? You must develop it further, refine upon it, and perfect it. Even training of your mind. Don't arise the right effort. Oh, enough already. I train enough already. I maintain just this type of training enough. Every day, morning 5 minutes, at night 5 minutes, and now you go and maintain. Cannot let that one, understand? When you want to do something, you do with understanding, and you do it sincerely. If it's a passion, you will just do, understand? You will never stop at, that is called, what they call, there's a word, no? Complacent, understand? Complacency, yeah. If you maintain, means you become complacent. Enough already lah. So no need to slot anymore lah. Kao liao lah. So if you have this type of mentality, you cultivate the spiritual cultivation, the Dhamma, you will get caught. They call it the defilement of insight. You will get caught. Because you will reach a stage of cultivation initially, not even at the advanced stage yet. All of a sudden, your mind state transforms and make you think that you are already enlightened. Then you become complacent. You know what you do. Right? It's like all of a sudden you cultivate, then you become very mindful. Right? And the type of mindfulness is what you think one, right? Because you do in the retreat, a slow one, all of a sudden. Wow, like you're so mindful, everything so mindful. But you never know the real one. So what happened is, you think you are already enlightened, what stage on jnana, all those things. Then you are very eager to share and teach. And then you come out. Initially, still okay, people listen to you, with a lot of dhamma, understand? Then after a while, you will entangle people who not so friendly, ask you certain questions. Then sometimes, like step on your tail, then you erupt and get angry. Then sometimes people come and challenge you, then you cannot handle. So what happened? you get into trouble. And then they realize they cannot face that reality. Then it becomes like a division. Then they form their own group, their own society. Then this group and that group different because of what? Method, technique, teacher, belief. That's how the Dhamma falls. Understand? But if you really cultivate in the spiritual field, you will never, never be complacent. Understand? You will just, like the Buddha said, because the Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time, and can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And very clear one, no need to ask anybody one, no need to check the textbook one. When you awaken, like the Buddha said, it's pachetang. This Dhamma can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. No need to check with anybody one. And you need to check, 99.999% is not the real one. Understand? Yeah, you're not sure. And it's no more pachetang. So pachetang, you have to cultivate until you yourself will come to understand that that's it. That's it. And you will be very clear. Not only no more doubt, there is so much joy, you know. And it's so clear, you know, crystal clear, you know. But everything is just like that. Then like a whole mystery unfold in front of you, understand? And the Four Noble Truths so clear. Not only clear, no, you can live it now. Not only can apply, you can live it now. That is the clarity that you have. It's just like I explained to you, Babington. Until you are so skillful, any shortcoming also you know how to return and return to the accuracy and point that you want it to be. Then any more doubt, you already perfected it. Understand? But those who say only cannot do one, you know, a lot of words. Understand? So when it comes to spiritual training, you have to be very serious. You have to be very, very determined and persevere. Then you must have a lot of patience and perseverance. Then you must have a lot of faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Not blind faith, no. Faith born of investigation into his teaching. That's why the seven factor of enlightenment, this is very important. I explained this many times already. What is the first factor of enlightenment? Sati, mindfulness. Right? Without sati, you cannot investigate into the Dhamma. Right? You cannot proceed. Right? That's why sati is the first factor of enlightenment. The second factor of enlightenment is what? Dhamma vichaya. Investigate. Use this sati to investigate into the Dhamma. That is the second turning. So when you investigate, what happened? It stand up to your investigation. Because it's the truth. Understand? Then you have so much faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Understand? Then that faith becomes very strong, unshakable. Then what happened? The third factor of enlightenment, virya, will arise. Understand? That's why all in a sequence. Understand? Without sati, without investigation, your faith cannot become unshakable. And without that, your virya cannot be strong. Understand? Then you have great respect for the Buddha. A lot of gratitude. And there is so much joy because you realize this Dhamma is so beautiful. Then you will go all out and cultivate. That's why virya come about, third factor of enlightenment. And when there is virya and sati, the next factor of enlightenment, piti, will arise. Because you will be very peaceful, very calm, aware, without thought. Then when piti arises, the fourth factor of enlightenment, it will accumulate in the pasati. It will bypass sukha, understand? It will realize that stillness, the tranquility of mind. Then this will stabilize until it becomes samadhi. Unwavering, collected. And then only you can see things as they are. Sati and samadhi allow you to arise the wisdom. With wisdom, the mind becomes equanimous. Understand? Equanimity. That's how the seven factors of enlightenment come to be. And nobody explained it this way. You can go and check the book. You can read all the Vipassana book. No, only make more sense. This is what happened in meditation. This is what I went through. That's what I can tell you. And it's not about theory anymore. That's why book, whether got right or got no right, to me, no different. I don't depend on book, actually. But when I start, I have to quote something that the Buddha quote. Otherwise, nobody will believe me. And I said, who am I? I'm just an ordinary lay person. And this one is not me. That is the worst. And this one doesn't like to come out initially. So during the early days, because of all this, there were no conditions. Understand? Then when I come out, I have to decide how I want to do it. Otherwise, it create more misunderstanding and complication. That's why I reflected, contemplated. How can I allow the living being to understand? And then the understanding come. Then I came up with some understanding on three conditions. I will come out and share. Means we are Dhamma friends. No authority. I'm not your teacher. We are friends. Friend that walk the path of Dhamma. Friend that shares the Dhamma. So that we motivate each other. We support each other. Then we share our understanding. Whatever that is useful for you, you take and use. We are not here to argue, to be right and to be wrong. So that condition was imposed by me. Then I say, call it a sharing, no more Dhamma talk. Otherwise, one-way traffic, very dangerous. Then no right, no wrong. Why you want to be right and wrong? The ego want to be right. So this type of sharing, I realize, less tendency of misunderstanding, less tendency of conflict. Then, as Dhamma friend, we can talk like friend. Means no authority. I'm not your guru or your teacher or whatever. That's why Sri and they all can come and see me anytime. All the Dhamma friends, they just come and see me anytime. But don't bring all those people that I don't know to see me. Because there must be conditions. I'm not here to heal people or cure people. I'm here to share the understanding. You heal yourself. My duty is very simple. What I understand, I share with you. That's it. No right, no wrong. Make use of whatever that can help you to move. Then live your own life. Yeah. Okay, 10:30. yes, Amy. Yes. Not necessary, but it will come this way because without sati, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. Yes, yes. Yes, very good. So now you understand why it never take off. Because you all have been so gullible for so long, like our sister. Believe, check the textbook, understand? They interpret the textbook. Then believe that people tell you, not this, not that. This is sati. Must slow down everything. The Buddha where God say when you walk slowly. You check the Satipatthana Sutta, Kaya Anupassana. He where God, he just say when you walk, you aware. Understand? When you stand, you aware. He never say when you walk slowly. Then how to live life? Understand? Use your common sense. Understand? I'm not trying to criticize or comment, please. It's just an understanding, how you understand. And if you continue to be gullible, like Ingvi said, if what is sati also you don't want to find out, then you go and believe what people tell you and you just do without understanding. That's why I say the real, authentic Dhamma that can bring about transformation cannot take off anymore, like loss. Understand? What is sati? Until today, no book can define. And I can tell you straight away, the awareness before knowing, before the arising of thought is sati. The pure perception before the aggregate. The direct see before the aggregate of mind come out. Even before the feeling and the perception. Just like a baby without memory, they see the reality. But that type of seeing is because they are so young, there is no memory. What the Buddha wants you to see is when you have all this memory, yet you are not deluded. And yet you know how to see the direct seeing, the pure seeing, asana, without the conditioning, without the reactive mind, without the delusion. Then you know how to live, because you know how to use this aggregate, asana. Because when there is wisdom, the aggregate is non-grasping, asana. It's no more upadana kandas. It's only the puttujana, or the one that still have ignorance. Their aggregates are grasping. And when your aggregate is grasping, you cannot let go, understand? That's why today somebody wrote to me, she is not here. She asked me, "Brother, you are spot on," because he involved her son who went overseas. Yeah, he sent me one of the email, very touching, about lion, the mother lion. You have to save the cub. The cub fell on the slope. Then he saw it very fascinating and very touching. I said, yeah, it's very touching, very beautiful. But if you can really have this type of love without attachment, that would be even more wonderful. Then he cannot understand. Then a few days later, the son supposed to come back from overseas. You know what happened? Typhoon in Taiwan, remember? For 2 days, he cannot contact the son. He was full of worry, anxiety. WhatsApp also no reply, nothing. Finally, the son managed to get a flight 48 hours later. He said, "I know the Dhamma, yet I got so much suffering." He said, "You are spot on attachment. We got the son." That's why the son you can sacrifice, but you can also attach. Then he asked me, "What is pure love without attachment?" Then I explained to her. Maybe I see how. Tomorrow, I try to share. I will delete the email. Then I share with you. You all read. That one will teach you how to meditate. I talk about the three turning too, and how to develop the understanding. Because she wants to know how can she cultivate so that she will not attach. Then she just explained to me in her own words. Is that the correct way to detach, to let go? I told her, you cannot let go. As long as you are deluded, you will grasp, you will hold, you will cling. Who let go? Only the people who grasp need to let go. But once you have developed the understanding and the wisdom, you are no longer deluded, means what? Your aggregate are no longer grasping, understand? So when it's not grasping, what is there to let go, understand? Letting go is for those people who don't understand. When you don't understand, you still have the delusion you want to let go. Your thought is trying to let go, understand? Thinking that this is letting go. This is your idea of letting go. Oh, I must not attach. Understand? But deep inside, how can my son know? But outwardly, I must not attach lah. I must let go lah, let go lah, let go lah. You can recite this for birth after birth. You will still attach at the end. But the moment you understand that the five aggregate of form and mind is empty, non-self, impermanent, the moment I hold suffering and grasping will condition my misery, straight away, no need to let go. You cannot grasp already. You cannot hold. Because you see the unreality of it all. Understand? That's why the real understanding is so different from what people perceive. That's why I always tell you, whatever that is logical to a living being is always the opposite of the truth. Yeah. To you, it's very logical. Yeah. Let go. Correct or not? If I don't let go, I suffer or no? Because attachment is the cause of suffering. No? But you never investigate. That's why you never understand. And you gullibly go and follow people. Say, yeah lah, let go lah, let go lah. Don't attach lah. You go and do lah. Last time I always heard people say the dependent origination. Cut at the feeling. He said, because upon contact, feeling arise. That feeling condition craving. So he said, when the feeling arise, cut. Don't attach. You go and try. As long as there is no wisdom, it will automatically condition craving. Your like and dislike, your fear, worry, all inside that. That's why without yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, you cannot free. The aggregate is grasping. And when the aggregate is grasping, you talk about letting go. You talk about cutting here and there. You go and use the knife to cut, also won't go. I tell you, cannot be done on us, because I checked before. Cannot be done on. Then later on, as I went through the cultivation, I realized, eh? There is no such thing as letting go. Understand? The moment you understand, you cannot hold. When you cannot hold, what is there to let go? Understand? You can use, and yet you are not gullible, because you know this is not real. Understand? Like this body, I use. They are completely conditioned out for me to use. But I don't worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Understand? That's what I can use. But I don't grasp. Understand? The mind also same for me to use. Not to foolishly hurt myself, harm myself, and hurt others and harm others. Violate all the noble evil path. Understand? Then I realize the Buddha's teaching is so wise, so beautiful. And when you understand, it's automatic. You cannot do already. Because you cannot be foolish anymore, understand? Only deluded people do those things. It's so clear, understand? But before you awaken, you cannot see on. All these are words. You have to reflect, contemplate, investigate into it. Then diligently cultivate your daily mindfulness. Then investigate all the Dhamma. Then when they stand up to investigation, the faith very strong, then the virya become very strong. That's why it must become balas, power, understand? Then only all the enlightenment factor will come out. Otherwise, not so easy, I tell you. So easy, a lot of enlightened being already, understand? But yet it's not difficult. When you understand and you sincerely want to do it, it's not difficult, because this era, this period of sasana is the best. Very conducive and very easy. If you meet the right guy or right people to explain to you, you only need to have the understanding of the true Dhamma. Then you progress very fast, you move very fast. We better end. 10 minutes pass already. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we do the sharing. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca mehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one and those who can receive them. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatakalena sasa sampati hetu ca vito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep in respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha. Then we end.